Hey, sister girls, it's Cherie, the sister girl next door, and I'm back with another podcast. This time I'm interviewing author B.M. Harden. She's a black independent author. I would say contemporary. I would say women's fiction. I would say suspense, mystery. I would say romance, but I can't really put it in just one genre because she has all of those elements in one book. I recently read, maybe like 2 weeks ago, one of her latest books called Give Him Back, and I was floored. It had every element. It was a great suspense. It was great mystery. It was great. It was contemporary. It was black girl magic. It was everything and so much more. And then I read the next book that she had like dropped at the same time. It was like maybe a week or two apart. It was called Once Upon a Crime. A black girl magical suspense. And I thought that was so amazing because, you know, the stories that she's telling is so out of the box. It's not, you know, your everyday typical stories, but it's needed. And I really wanted to interview her because I just wanted her to have to tell her story about how she was able to come up with these characters and these storylines. And I think it's so amazing because we need this diversity in, you know, African-American literature, especially now more than ever. That our stories are not just one way. We have many different stories and many different ideas. And I just really wanted to talk to her. And she was so down to earth. She was so funny. And she was so fun to talk to. She dropped so many gems. So please, please listen to the interview. Make sure you comment. And also make sure you follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at SisterGirlsBC and then Instagram, Sister Girls Book Club. And then if you want to follow me personally on Twitter, Cherie Writes, and then on Instagram, I'm the Sister Girl Next Door. And on both our Facebook group is Sister Girls Book Club. And in my Facebook page is Cherie Hereford. So be sure to follow us. Make sure you listen to this interview. She's going to drop a lot of gems, especially if you are a new author or an aspiring author. Please listen. Okay, it's amazing. It's dope. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and how did you begin your writing career?
So I am from North Carolina, born and raised. I've always loved to write. I actually tried to write my first book at 14. Mm-hmm. It was called Busy Business. Don't ask me why, but that's what I named it. And, you know, I was trying to write it. I actually finished, but my grandma, she read it and she was like, well, you don't know enough yet, you know, and I didn't understand what she meant. And I was like, well, my imagination, you know, is there. She was like, yeah, but you ain't been through nothing yet. So, you know, it's missing something. I was like, whatever. So for years, you know, I got in corporate America. I got a degree in journalism. And, you know, I was just like not happy. I was always looking for a job that paid more, just whatever. I didn't mind moving around. I was just like, I don't like nothing that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And my first love has always been writing. And then I started working for this huge company, and I started telling the girls that I work with how, you know, how much I used to love to write. I've won, like, different awards, like, at school and different things like that for writing. And they were like, just try it again, you know, and this was in 2012. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try. So I actually wrote the entire, my first book, which I called Just to Hear the Words I Love You, I wrote the entire book at work on their computer, just like during break. And I just would write at work. You know, at home I would be busy, but at work I would write at work. And I finished. And, you know, and so I let them read it. It was like, I really think you have a gift. Keep going. And then so I wrote another book and another book. And then 2 years later, I was quitting my job and writing full time. And so for the last 5 years, I have been just a full time author.
So, wait, I'm sorry. I have to back up a little bit. When you said you were using the people time at work. To write a whole book.
For 2 years, I was writing at work. Like, I even had a supervisor who had got used to it, was like, please just finish your work first and then go on and write your book. Like, she was just like, go ahead. And then the day came for me to quit, and she was like, I knew you were going to, you know, be successful at it. And I quit, and she was just like, good luck. So, but I wrote at work. And so I finished, I want to say about 5 of my books I wrote at work. So, and now I just write from home. That's all I do.
Wow. Publishing route. Instead of like trying to, like, you know, get a publishing deal with a bigger company, or did you try that?
I don't know if it's a Sagittarius thing, but I love my freedom. Mm-hmm. I love to able to do things on my own time. I found that trying to force something out or trying to do it around somebody else's time doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I started out independent, and then I kind of wrote with a small publishing company, but I didn't officially sign to them. I just decided to collaborate and write. Mm-hmm. And then last year, Kensington, the Fan of Books, reached out to me for a book, and I have still yet to give them a book for them to review and see if they could pick me up. Just because I don't know. I love being able to do it on my own time. I love being able to go by my own rules, and I just love being able to do everything myself. So it is a goal this winter to maybe write a book and go ahead and submit it to them and see what happens from there. But I'm happy. I'm happy doing it my way. Mm-hmm. I'm happy, you know, being able to have control over everything. And, you know, I make enough from it that I'm not greedy and like, oh, my God, I got to sign with somebody huge to get this. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love my freedom.
So my thing was, all right, so you love your freedom, but at the same time, I guess the allure for a lot of, like, aspiring authors and even independent authors that are already like out there and they have books is that if you go with a publishing company, you'll get the more readers, you'll have more better marketing, you might do like the whole book tour, you know, you get all the deals and stuff that you see like other writers who are signed to publishing companies have. So when you say like you like your freedom, do you think that's a fair trade basically?
I won't mention their name, but I do communicate with a few that are Essence bestselling and as well as New York Times. And they have their sayings about, you know, signing with big companies too. And, you know, of course you get better distribution or you could possibly turn into something, you know, extremely huge or, you know, anything like that. Your books are in the stores and different things like that. But from some of the stories that I've heard, I don't think I'm missing too much. I don't think I'm missing too much. Again, I know that you can do both. So if I do decide to go that route, I plan to still say do both. I want to write for myself and then I write for someone else too. So I did speak to someone who is currently, they went ahead and signed with Savannah, and it was like that was something that they're going to do. They're going to write for them and for themselves. So I will definitely do that route if I decide to go that way. But I also have something in the works, hoping to take my own little personal publishing company to get in bookstores. So if that kind of goes the way that I want to, I probably won't sign to anyone else.
I totally understand you. That makes perfect sense. But if people don't know, you have written at this point over 30 books. So I think that's why I was like really interested in your, I think I should have gave that backstory that you have already written and published independently over 30 books at this point. So I was just like, well, what would be like the drawback, because you have your name out there and you have like all the things that maybe people would be afraid of, you've already kind of done. You have the independence, you had like, you know, doing it exactly how you wanted to do it. This would just be kind of like, I guess, taking the career up to get more exposure. Cause I feel like that's the allure for independent authors who've been doing it for a while to actually go and sign. If I'm not, you know what I mean? So that's why I was just like, well, maybe it could be something in the near future, but I don't know. But like I said, over 30 books, how do you keep telling different stories? Because after a while, how do these characters not, like, you'd be like, okay, well, that was the same type of characteristic my character had in book 6.
I just really take the time to map it out. Mm-hmm. Like, if I feel like anything is similar, I'll go back. I'll go read all the books. I'll go through my notes, whatever the case may be. I really focus on making each story different. Like, I hear readers say, oh, my God, that's the same storyline. They'll never say that with mine. Mm-hmm. I take the time to make sure everything, maybe not every single detail, but for the most part, 90% of the book, you won't be able to relate it to another book that I've written. You may know my style, you know, you may know how I write or, you know, my voice, but I make sure they're different. I just take notes. I take really, really good notes. Even if I don't take notes in the beginning, most of the time I get an idea and I won't even outline the book. Mm-hmm. I'll just write. Write from my mind, write from my heart. And, you know, but once I'm finished, I kind of make like a little note. I have like a note section on my Mac where I just really put the big notes down about the book so that I never copy it again. And then I just go through them when I get another idea. But usually my ideas are completely left field from any other book that I've written. I always just have off the wall ideas.
I was just about to get into that because your ideas are like, they are like, when I read just one of the books and I was given, that was the first book I ever read by you and I kept seeing it pop up. So I was just like, well, I'm going to, you know, give this author a try. I want to read the book. I read the book in one night. And so that's another thing that really took me away because I'm like, it was suspense. It was mystery. It was drama. It was cheating. It was marriage. It was everything in one book. And I was just like, how does she do this in one whole like book? Like there's not technically a part two. If you didn't want to write it, if you want to, feel free. But I'm like, you close it in a way where,
oh, well, it comes out next week.
See, I was about to say, I knew you was going to have a part two. Cause I was like, it was so many. I'm like, well, she could take it this way. She could take that way. But how do you find that line of storytelling? Because, you know, let me back it up for a little bit. For those who don't know, you don't just write contemporary romance. You don't just write, I guess, urban. You don't just write maybe women's fiction. You write like on some Shonda Rhimes type, you know, level of like just the twists and turns. Where's your mind at? Where you
I have no idea. I blame it on God all the time because like everyone asks me, are you urban? You're not urban. And you know, they're like, you don't have the drugs because I preferably don't write about, you know, drugs and stuff because I just don't. So, you know, they're like, I don't consider you as urban. What are you? And I'm like, I'm just a mixture of everything. I write what feels good to, you know, what feels good to me. I'm not a romantic type of, oh, my God, I want them to be loving, happy. No, somebody got to die, you know. And I'm not the, oh, my God, you know, I want this to be something that women can relate to. Yes, I do. But I also want it to be something that you're not going to see coming, and I want it to be completely different from any book you've ever read. So I do take pride in mixing genres. That's my signature. I love to throw a little bit of everything into one book. Where it comes from, I don't know. I don't know. Like, this title, Give Him Back, I got the title first before I even knew what I was going to write about. The title came to me, and then I was like, let me see if I can make a cover that I might like. So I end up making a cover because I make the cover myself. And I was like, okay. So I'm kind of feeling this. She's got to be crazy. You know, the look of the cover, somebody got to be crazy. And I just sat down and I changed the ending, I mean the beginning, a few different times. And once I got a beginning that I liked, I went through the whole book. I wrote the entire book. And once I was in the finalizing stage, I hated it. I scrapped the whole book and wrote the book that you read in 6 days.
Are you serious? So you, wait, time out. Yes. Rewind. Let's play that back. Because this is like, I just want people out there to know, this is not no 100-page book. So to scrap a whole book, did you even have any pieces of the story from the original book?
A few pieces. I did have maybe a few ideas, but I just wasn't in love with it. Like, I started reading over it, and I had already put the release date out there. So I was like, okay, I got to make sure I go through it. And by chapter 5, I just wasn't into it. I was like, you know what? I'm starting over. And, you know, my friend, she was like, you better not start over. And I was like, I'm starting over. And I started over, and I wrote like 80,000 words in 6 days.
Are you, like, so, I'm so impressed because I'm just like, I guess the biggest thing is because it had so many twists and turns. It was just like,
I sat there and I was like, it gotta be different. Nope, I don't, nope, I'm not in love. And so I started over, and once I started over, it just came so
it flowed. So yes, did you, were you afraid about, were you afraid after, because that's a short time span. If you tell that to anybody, they'd be like 6 days, like, you know, the world.
Well, I wrote it in 6 days, but you know, it still had to go through the proofreading process after that, but I literally wrote the book in 6 days. So it still took a whole nother 2 weeks or 3 weeks for it to come out, you know, as far as going through the proofreader, and I got beta readers and all of that good stuff.
But still, technically, you wrote the book. You still wrote the book, no matter if it went through the refining periods or nothing. The point is, I'm still, because you could get a proofreader, a beta reader, the story still was written in 6 days. Yeah. I'm like, the world even had 7 days. So you were just doing, you know, you were doing a lot. And my thing is, because you wrote the book, when you changed it, were you afraid that it wasn't going to be like as successful? Because, I mean, honestly, I had the book. And let me tell you, I have to be honest because I, you know, I'm 100. I had the book. I downloaded the book. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to read it. So it was on my TBR list. And I kept seeing it pop up on the Amazon's bestsellers list. Like, it was literally, because I go and check to see new books to feature for our book club, you know, just to give different authors shout outs and stuff like that, or to add books on my TBR. And then I'm like, this woman's book is still here. It was like 3 weeks later, and I'm like, she's still there. Like, what? And now I was just like, what is the, you know, because, you know, you hear people, they say, oh, the book is good, the book is great. But I'm like, it's still number one. It's not moving. And so my thing is, after you, congratulations, by the way, but after you noticed, after you did the book in 6 days, did you ever, like, get any fear? Like, oh, my God, maybe I should have took extra time with this book.
No, because I changed something like 2 days before it came out. So I kind of knew, I already knew that it was going to do great. But once I figured out the twist that I put at the end of it, you know, with the, you know, yeah, at the end, the very end with Tokyo, that wasn't there. I had actually ended it happy with, you know, the whole lava situation, mm-hmm, where, you know, Kemp does what he does. I kind of ended it there and I was like, heck no, that ain't enough. And I threw that last clip in there at the last few days, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. But now, it did surprise me. It has done extremely well. So I knew it would do good, but it has surprised me with how good it has done. Like, it has done, mm-hmm, awesome. So it was supposed to be a standalone, and then I was just like, maybe I can, you know, pull a little something out of it and just do a spinoff, which I was going to do the spinoff. Because a lot of people were requesting more of a story on Kemp and Satin. Mm-hmm. So I was going to kind of do a spinoff just on them. And I was like, nope, that ain't enough. I'm going to throw Tokyo. I'm going to throw Love. I'm going to throw everybody back in there. So, and I came up with a part two, and it is coming soon. So I think you guys will enjoy it.
I think I will too, because the thing is, it left off at a point where you didn't have to bring anybody back if you didn't want to. But Kemp, he was like somebody, I'm just like, yo, like, who is this guy? And then he popped up, because what happened was, I'm such a, like, a, you know, a reader, that after I read Give Him Back, I literally read Once Upon a Crime, Black Girl Magic Suspense, like, the next day. So I read both your books in, like, a 2-day span, like, a weekend. And so he popped up again. And what I was interested, I was like, well, I don't know if this whole Black Girl Magic, because she's a witch. And I was like, that's a little out there for me. You know, I watch Charmed, but this might be a little out there. So that's the next thing. You have these storylines that are kind of like for, I guess, Black culture. It might be a little outrageous because, you know, we don't fool around with the whole witchcraft too much. But at the same time, we watch the shows, because in my era, I don't know one Black girl who didn't watch Charmed or who didn't watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch or any of those things. So it's like at the same exact time, while we can say we don't watch that or we're like a little scary, but it's like, no, we watch the same shows that white people watched. You know what I mean? And so when you came up with that story, Black Girl, like the Once Upon a Crime, Black Girl Magic Suspense. So if people don't know, the heroine in it is she's a witch. And it's just like, and, like, she's a regular witch. Like, she has a job. She got a house. Like, she got money. She's not like this little, she's not like in New Orleans somewhere, like, by the swamps. And she's, like, got a car. She got men, you know. So how did you even, I guess my thing is, how did you feel comfortable telling these stories when you know that in the market, even from just looking at Amazon and stuff, like, some of the best, the stories that do the best or do well might be romance or might be women's fiction. Where did you get the comfortability in your own writing to just be like, no, that could be all, you know, they can do well, and I can also do well with this as well, you know what I mean?
So I decided to do that one. I've always wanted to. I love Charmed. Like, that's one of my all-time favorite shows. Mm-hmm. And my son is in
the door. I think Yes. While I'm sure that people are doing paranormal, and I'm not saying that you're the only black author that's doing that, but I think that it opened the door for somebody to say, well, I can do black romance and I can do this. Like, it is not like, you know, some people might feel confined to their genre, and it's like, well, no, you could do suspense and mystery in one book, and in the next book you could be talking about a witch, you know what I mean? And that, you know, and have like that love element, and have like that, because your books, I wouldn't know. I honestly wouldn't know where to put your book. I wouldn't say it's, because it has elements of romance. It has elements of like suspense, mystery, all of that. And it's contemporary. So I think more than anything, it allowed people to kind of just say, I can, you know, do this too. Like, I don't have to just, you make my ideas not, you know, stay in a box. I can like be out there with it too. So, I mean, I think that's the greatness of it. Because, I mean, I would have never expected you, the person who wrote Give Him Back, to write that book. And then you brought him out, like, back to back. That was another thing. So, how do you, what's the time set up for you when you write books?
I don't have a specific time, unless I know that I'm, like, wanting it to come out at a certain time. If I'm like, ooh, I want it to come out for Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So that means I have to really make sure I do at least 10,000 to 20,000 words every 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. or whatever. But most of the time, I just write. I write when I feel like it. I don't write when I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. But I also realize that it's still my job, and it's something that I actually enjoy doing. So I can write 10,000 to 20,000 words in a day. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what I'm writing and, you know, how I want the story to flow, or if I want to take a break, or if I don't want to end a thought without finishing it out. Like, I may start a chapter and I'm like, ooh, I have to get to the climax because, you know, I just got to get this out. So I might start at chapter 2 and go all the way to chapter 5 just because. Mm-hmm. And then I might not write for 2 or 3 days and then go back again. So it just depends. Like, with the most recent book that I just finished, which is Giving Back 2, I wrote it in about, I want to say, a week and a half, 2 weeks. I took breaks. I, you know, wrote 10,000 words this day, and I might not write again for 2 days, and then I would write again and might do 5,000. I took breaks, but I just write. I write when I feel. I write when I feel like it. Mm-hmm. I tell everyone that. That's when I write. I write when I feel like it. I can be on a schedule if it's a certain date that I want it out, but most of the time I write when I feel good. That's mm-hmm. when I write.
So as a writer, you can spend large amounts of time in solitude. That's one thing I've noticed. Like, you can be in that writing room and stuff for like hours, days, sometimes months or weeks or whatever. So how do you balance creating a fictional world while living in the real world and dealing with like your personal life and still balancing that, you know, making sure you just have fun and you get out more, you're not just stuck, you know, in the world that you're creating for other people?
I usually write when everyone else is busy. Mm-hmm. Basically, I write while my son is at school. And then when he's home and, you know, everybody's up, then I don't write. And mm-hmm. then I write again when my mate works their shift. So I write when he's at work. Mm-hmm. So I balance it out. I kind of write when everybody else has something else to do. It's very rare that I'm just sitting and writing all day, every day, tuning everybody out. Nine times out of ten, I'm not. It may be some days where I might take an hour or two, like, ooh, I got to get through this. I got to finish this. Or let me at least read a chapter or two. I'm going to be behind if I don't read it over this or something. But it's very rare that I just spend all day writing without interacting with my family. I usually like to write while they're busy. I would write in the morning while my son is at school. And then I would take a break, you know, do dinner, kind of watch TV, hang out, whatever. And then I'll write again when my mate goes to work at night. And then I'll go to sleep and do it all over again the next day. So I try not to spend a lot of time just by myself. And then I'm from a big family with lots of siblings, lots of nieces and nephews. And so I don't have time to just be, you know, to myself most of the time. I'm always trying to do something. I'm always trying to show up. I don't want to miss anything. So mm-hmm. I'm always trying to be there. So I thank God that it's a gift that I can write as fast as I do. Because if I do have to back away, it's not for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. I'm able to write a book in a week and, you know, have it out of the way, and then I can go do whatever I need to do. So I don't really suffer from being in solitude a whole lot because mm-hmm. I make it my business to you know, do it and get out. It's not really on the schedule because I still write when I feel like it, but I still just kind of make sure that everybody's doing something and I'm not just shutting myself away from everybody.
So when did you know that you could tell a good story? Like, what book was it? Was it your first book, your second book?
It wasn't my first book. Mm-hmm. It was almost my second book when I started. My second book made me feel like, which is Every Woman Has a Price. It's not up there now because I'm redoing it, but mm-hmm. It's Every Woman Has a Price. And that let me kind of know that I'm like, ooh, you kind of like to be twisted a little bit. So that gave me just a little more confidence with that book. And then by the time I got to my fourth book, which was Your Pastor, My Husband, I knew that I had it in the bag. I knew that I could tell a good story and that I could twist it up and that I could fool people. And that was the book that allowed me to quit my job, my fourth book.
Wow.
So it was like, okay, well, made it possible for me to quit my job.
Uh-huh.
But I stayed and kind of did one more book. But that book set the platform like, oh, okay, girl, you got this. Just go on, take a chance.
So in the beginning stages of your career, I know a lot of aspiring writers and new authors, they're trying to find their audience. Like, they're so concerned about how do they get the eyes in front of their books. So how did you do it? Because you have a really big following. You have a lot of supporters, a lot of readers who are looking forward to each project that you drop. So in the beginning stages, how did you find, especially because you wrote in such a, I would say, non-genre specific, you know, types of stories you were telling. So how did you find your audience? How did you find your following on social media and your readers?
Sneak peek. I started posting, like, I joined reading groups, of course, and I found that people won't know you or people won't know that they might like you if they can't read you for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the idea to either post a long snippet on my page or post just a little teaser, and then, like, if you want to read more, you better join my email list or whatever. And I kind of just started fishing for my market there. If they were interested in the teaser, most likely they might be interested in the book. So I would do it that way, but sneak peek, I tell everybody, every new author, I know you don't want to show your work for free. You might think somebody's going to steal it, or you might, but sneak peeks will pull in those people that are going to enjoy your work. I don't mind, and some people don't. Like, I don't try to send in, like, ooh, if you like urban hood books, I let them know that's not me. I don't write that. You know, that's okay if you don't like my work, you don't like my books, or you don't like the direction that I take. But if you post sneak peeks, that's what I done. I post sneak peeks everywhere. I started, like, a little blog, and I don't keep up with it now, but I started a blog, and I would post a little sneak peek, and then be like, oh, well, follow this, and you can read the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they read the rest on the little free blog site on WordPress, I would have a thing at the bottom, like, join my email list so you won't miss out on anything that's released. And it just kind of started building up from there. And then every book, I started putting, like, my group link in there, and then people just started joining my group. So, that's kind of how I did it.
Mm-hmm. So you're not just a writer. You also offer other services to other writers, and you sell merchandise as well. So the services that you offer to other writers is basically helping them kind of, you know, get their book out there and to, like, kind of create their books and their stories. And the merchandise is really dope. I saw the bag. I was like, oh my gosh. And so you sell merchandise and you do your own book covers as well. So what made you decide to expand your products and kind of just offer that as a service too? Because I know you create covers for other authors as well.
The designing part is new for me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell anybody, I'm just now getting into the whole design part. I decided to learn Photoshop. I decided to learn Canva. Just because, like, when tax time came, I was noticing how much I was spending on book covers a year. If I'm dropping 5 to 8 book covers, I'm paying for cookbook covers, I'm paying for flyers, I'm paying for different things. And I was like, well, I think that'll be something new to, I would like to learn. So, especially since I plan on adding in children's books.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to learn how to illustrate my own children's books and have my own, because I learned with working with other graphic designers, and they're good at what they do, but sometimes they don't get my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself going back and forth with them. I found myself having having to cancel on some of them. I find myself like getting super frustrated because I'm ready, but I don't have the vision that I need to go with my book. And I was like, I can't. I'm just going to start myself. And, you know, I had one that I worked with that was awesome, but I started trying different ones. And I was just like, oh, no. I'd rather do the thing myself and figure it out. So I started, you know, trying to learn, and I started learning. And now that I can do my own covers, I want to write all the time. I can get my vision. And once I see it, I'm like, yep, that's it. Okay, we're ready to go. Because usually I have my cover and my title first. I know that's usually the last thing that people do, but that's the first thing I do. I have my title and my cover first. And then once I have that visual, I'm like, okay, let's go. So that's new. The designing is new. But the author services, I get a lot of inquiries about, you know, what do I do? How do I promote? You know, I need a good title, you know, and so I was like, you know what, fine, I'll start doing this for other people. I was already doing it for people behind the scenes, but I just decided to kind of put it out there because a lot of people may need it, but may not want to ask. So I just decided to put it out there, and it's been successful so far, but I don't mind. I don't mind helping other people. I don't mind helping someone else, you know, get to where they're going. It doesn't bother me. I know we're in the same field, but I'm completely fine with doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really great and rare, you know, attitude to have, because a lot of times the idea is to kind of hold everything for yourself and just like not give away the special sauce and all this other stuff. But I've learned like over the years, and I always say that's why you're supposed to give out stuff so you can have more to receive. And then also like the special sauce really is you. Like if you tell somebody how to make a bag and this, that, a third, they still can't make it like you. So how did you even figure out like to take on that attitude?
I've always been that way. Mm-hmm. I've always been that way. My mom is that way. And for years growing up, I didn't understand it. Like, oh my God, you're just doing everything to everybody, or you just don't mind, you know. And I'm a preacher's daughter. So, you know, of course it was in her to do things that way. And I was like, why do you do that? You know, everybody had an issue with the way she did things. But the older I got, I was like, you know, I like doing things to help people too. You know, I don't mind. I mean, I'm like, yeah, we're in the same thing. But everything isn't about competition. I want to see everybody make it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I know in the book industry, it has become that. But it doesn't have to be that, because readers are going to read everything. They're going to read what they like, regardless of who's writing it. They're going to read it if they want to read it. So it's just, to me, it's a point. And, you know, trying to, now I may not give them, like, I'm going to start coaching of authors. So I won't coach them to write like me, because I love being original, I love my style, but I will coach them to find their own voice, to find their own style. But I don't mind sharing what I know. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all.
That's, I like that attitude. Now, you said something in your last response that was very interesting. You're a preacher's kid. So, okay, now we got back up just a little bit. So you write books that are kind of a little bit, you know, you got witches and all that other stuff. So how did your, like, family, because I'm like, you got to preach it. Like, I'm thinking, you know, church on Sunday, and you writing about witches.
that was my first one about witches. So, but, my family was like, they know it's fiction. So, it's kind of like, what's in that book? Kind of, you know, I can't say that a lot of them read it. I won't say they read it. Even if they buy it, like my mom has them on a bookshelf, you know, of course she don't read them. But they're there, you know. And they just kind of like, oh, Lord, what's in there now? I hope it ain't none of them nasty books, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't write a whole lot of sex, you know, contrary to what they think. They just think I'm filling them with sex everywhere, and, you know, people just tell me, you know, they just think it's full of all kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, you actually have to open the book to read it to know what it's about. But they don't mind. They allow me to do what I do and be me. You know, it's my job. It's my job, and it's my passion. So, I mean, people do stuff they don't want to do all the time. You know, it's their job. So gotcha. They don't really say much. They don't say much at all.
Okay, I believe you. So being an indie author is a business, and you're an entrepreneur, essentially. So what is one piece of advice, or pieces of advice, if you have more than one, that you would share with an aspiring author who might be listening, or a new author, because what I found out too is like a lot of new authors, they're still, even though they have a book out or maybe even two or a series, you know, they're still trying to learn. They're still trying to figure out how to, you know, do the business aspect of it. You know, they have the creative part down pat, you know, they have the story, they have all of the things that would make a great, you know, a great book. But then it's like they get to this point where it's like, okay, I got to do administrative stuff. I got to be my own marketer. I got to be my own accountant, my own this, my own that. So what's one piece of business advice that you could give?
I would say be different and be creative. And you have to be consistent. Like, I see so many people come out with a book and they just expect it to sell. Like, some people, okay, you may get lucky. You may have a hit book and it come out. But if not, you have to be consistent. You have to try to be creative with it. Like, it's different things I do. Like, I have a musical synopsis for one of my books where I made, like, a song, like a 30-minute song just to promote the book. Because videos and people love to listen to music. People love to watch videos. I've done book trailers. I just try to find different ways to catch people's eye. I make memes out of my books. Anything that you can think of, or what is it, memes? I think some people call them memes.
Yes, a meme. But, it's a meme. It's a meme.
Where I'm from, they call them meme. So. But whatever they are, you know, I do things like that. And you have to be creative, and you have to be consistent. I know people get tired of promoting. They may think people are tired of seeing it, but that's where being creative comes in. If you, you know, switch it up, you may post the book cover one day, but then the next day, post it like a song, or the next day, ask a question, or the next day, you know, just do something that might remind them of your book. Mm-hmm. You just have to get creative with it, and then promoting it won't become such a drag. You won't feel like, oh my God, I'm constantly posting the same thing, or people are getting tired of seeing it. If you're doing it different ways, you'll be fine. So mm-hmm. You have to stay consistent. I know new authors just expect to write a book. Oh, I wrote a book. Now I'm about to make the money. It don't always work like that. Mm-hmm. So you do have to put in time and effort, and you have to be consistent. You have to be creative, and don't be afraid to be unique. Find what works for you. Find your voice. If it's in there, let it come out in your work, and your readers will find you. It takes one person to, you know, say, oh my God, this book is good, for the second person to read it, and then the second person say it, and then you end up having 100 people reading the same book. So just try to be creative and be unique and find what works for you.
That's some great gems. So was there ever a time in your writing career where you wanted to give up? If so, how did you overcome it and keep going?
Maybe in the very beginning, because I was like most new authors. I thought, oh, I wrote a book now. I'm about to put it out there. Let's see what happens. And, you know, the first book was kind of like, what am I supposed to do? Is this what's supposed to happen? Well, a lot of people ain't reading it. What am I doing? So it was like trial and error. I had to learn. Mm-hmm. The things that I'm telling other people, I literally had to learn. And so it took me a good year or two to really get the swing of it. I had to, you know, do different covers. I was like, oh, them covers ain't really selling it. So let me put up the covers. I had to do this. I had to do that. So actually in the beginning, with people not buying it as fast as I thought that they would, because I didn't know anything about it, I almost was like, okay, maybe this should just be a habit. Or maybe this is just something that I like to do, and, you know, I'm going to keep it at that, write it in my little journal and go from there. But, you know, by the second and third book, I was kind of like, okay, it's getting better, you know, because I went from maybe a light bill, and then it just kept going. And then I was like, oh, it's coming, you know, so I was like, okay, we're on the road now. So in the beginning, I would say in the beginning, I kind of started to get discouraged with the very first book, but by the time I got to that second book, it kind of started sparking people's interest a little more, so I just kept going.
Okay. And so what's one thing you thought would be easier as an indie author, but found out it wasn't as easy? It was actually hard.
Easy? I would say, other than selling, I didn't know, like, distribution was as difficult as it is, as far as getting into different bookstores, getting it into different places. In the beginning, I didn't know that it was, like, it took so much effort in order to do those things, especially since I'm going through the process now. I'm like, oh, I see why people, you know, try to go through a big New York company or a big publishing company to do this part, you know, because mm-hmm. it's a lot of work, and they're very particular with their reviewing process. And I tried like 2 or 3 years ago, and I was turned down. So now that I'm trying again, you know, that part, I didn't know getting into different places would be as difficult of a challenge. I just thought you write a book, people like the book, they pick it up and they put it in the store, you know. So I didn't know that this whole process was as tedious as it is. So I would say that, other than the selling part of it.
So who are your favorite authors, and what are your like some of your favorite books that you read?
My favorite book of all time is A Day Late, A Dollar Short by Terry McMillan. That's my all-time favorite book. I also love Brenda Hampton. The Naughty series is my absolute favorite series. Other than that, I really love everything. I'm not a big, unfortunately, I like urban. Well, I like, what is it, Street Lit or whatever they call it. I like books like that, but I don't read them a lot. I like more of James Patterson and things like that. So I read a little bit of everything. I just like to read. So I don't, if I have a preference, I'm not probably going to pick up the most street or urban, you know, lit type of books. But I do like African-American suspense, romance. I read everything. I like everything, which is why I think why I blend so much into my work, just because I like everything. I like to read anything that catches my interest.
Yeah, because you do have everything in there. I was like, you have everything in there. And so, what has been something that, like, you know, going through your writing career where you're just like, that was really good? Like, one of your biggest successes as, like, a writer so far?
I want to say probably The Wrong Husband. Yeah, The Wrong Husband, The Hidden Life. I had those coming out like 3-4 weeks apart. Like, I was just dropping them month to month to month. And those books also, Give Him Back is right behind them, but those two books, like, really floored me with, you know, the success of them, you know. And it was just something that I just sat down one day and was like, this is something that I'm just going to write. I don't know if people are going to like it, but people absolutely love them. I would say those two, as well as A Good Listener. The Good Listener was my first psychological thriller. And it took something out of me that, oh goodness, it took a lot out of me to really feel like I could pull that book off. I had to do a lot of research, way more research than I usually do. I research my books, but with that one, to try to tap into the profession and to make it all come together, it took a lot. So I'm definitely proud of that book and how it went. And I think that's the book that kind of sparked Kensington to notice me, because I did submit that book, and this is how crazy it was. I did that book, and I thought it was kind of definitely out of my element, and I was like, well, let me see what happens. So I did submit it to a literary agent with Kensington, and she asked me to read more of the book, so I sent her the full book, and she was like, well, I don't think this is a good fit. I was like, okay, so I self-published it. Literally 2 weeks after that, someone else from Kensington emailed me asking me if I had something else to submit.
Wow, look at God.
So, you know, it was like, I just sent you this book, and you guys said it didn't fit, you know, so... It was like, okay, you could have had this one, you know, and then I don't know if they, you know, I don't know how that happened, but it was like 2 weeks after I got an email, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, but she was like, do you have anything that you can submit, you know, whatever the case may be, and then I kind of went back and forth with the email, and I was like, I'm going to send something soon, and I just never really got around the time to send in something that I didn't want to push out myself. So it's my goal to actually write something that I'm going to be able to send to them. And I guess we'll see what happens from there.
So what do you see yourself, like, your writing career? Do you want to do movies or films, or you want to, like, just go into, like, different genres? Or what do you see yourself in, like, 5 or 10 years? I don't know if 5 is too short of a time. Maybe 10 years.
I would love to see one of my books in particular on Sam, and it's called The James. I don't know if you've read that one before.
No, I've been going through your catalog.
I freaking I freaking love the James. It's really, it's suspense. To me, a lot of people say that it reminds them of the Stafford Housewives or something. I've actually never watched a show or a movie or whatever it is. But they say it kind of gives them that black girl feel of that, like a urban Stafford Wives type of feel. But that book just came to me out of nowhere. I was right down the road, and I couldn't get the song I'm in Love with Mary Jane out of my head for days. I don't smoke or anything, but it was just in there, you know, and I was just like, why in the heck am I singing this song? And like, every day I would get in the car, I would just sing it. And then finally, I was taking my baby to school, and I was driving, and it was like the James. And the whole storyline just came to me. I was like, that's why I was singing that song. And so I wrote the book, and oh, God, it's just hilarious. Once you read it, you'll see why. But the things that the women do in that book, it just tickles my soul. So I would love to see that book, you know, either on film or somewhere, but that's probably, and it's not my favorite book, it's just a book that I would love to watch on the big screen, but I do, and I think most writers would love to see one of their books from, you know, books to film, so I would love to see that eventually.
Okay, well, this has been a great interview. Before I let you go, we're going to do what is called like flash questions. So you answer the questions really quickly. It's just like the first answer that comes to your mind, okay? So,
okay.
Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
Writing at the date in the daytime or writing at night?
Night.
Martin or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Martin.
To live in a house or an apartment? To, what was the next one? Coffee or tea?
Tea.
And who is B.M. Harden?
Beauty. I don't know.
That was good.
I just think I'm such a, I think I'm a beautiful person, so beauty.
That was good. I like that. That was real. It pulled it all together. So where can people find you? Let people know if they want to read your books, if they want to follow you on social media. Where can they go? Plug your stuff.
Yeah, so my website is authorbmharden.com. My books are, my Instagram is BM_Harden. Facebook, I'm under Author BM Harden. I have three different pages, so you can pop up on either one of them. I'm all over the place. On Twitter, I'm at BMHarden1. So yeah. And my email address, if you need something, is authorbmharden.com. info@authorbmharden.com.
All right, so thank you so much, sister girls. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you, trust me, check. If you don't check out nothing, or check out Give Him Back, you'll be hooked to the whole thing. I mean, it blew me away because I was just like, oh, we got to get Miss BM up in here to talk to her because I can't go on with life without speaking to you about this. And thank you so much for, like, you know, taking the time out to speak with me because I know you have a busy schedule. We've been trying to get this interview done for a minute. And thank you for bearing with me.